Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You're listening to The Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk about all the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives. And this week we are joined with Ken Seymour from the Everybody Loves Pudding podcast. So say hi.
Well, hello.
Very nice to have you here. Thank you for coming. And I don't know. I'm really nervous.
Well, I've had that effect on people before, but it usually results in them running away. And so hopefully that won't occur at this point.
Yeah, no, hopefully it won't. Because I really want to talk to you about this. This week, we're talking about our relationship with the movie or the TV show Snowpiercer, probably in this case, just specifically the movie and then the comics. First, I didn't even know that they were comics until Delvin had told me that they were. So like what, I guess my first question is, what are the main differences between like the film and the comics?
Well, quite a bit. Now, the comic was created a long time ago, and obviously, I tend to overemphasize the key differences. I tend to look at a lot of properties that are based upon either comic strips, comic books, graphic novels. This specifically was a graphic novel, which means a bound larger production of a comic book. It was created in 1982 and it's French originally, Transpierge. The creator was Jacques Laub, who unfortunately died back in 1990, and the artist was Jean-Marc Rochette. There are quite a lot of differences. The big thing to consider when looking at the difference between the original source material and what we get in the movie, and I'm assuming what we also get in the television show, is this was not exactly a linear story told over multiple pieces. It was a series of separate stories. So the original volume that was written in 1982, which was the part that Jacques Laub did, that was the only thing that existed prior to the creation of the movie. And it didn't even have an English translation before this movie was released, because a lot of people think, well, this came out in 2014 in the United States. Well, it did, but it came out in Korea in 2013 first. And it was a Korean production company that created it. So there was not the English translation at that point, at least not released. I think they were in the process. They knew they were going to be having this major push and release them at the same time. So that renewed interest, I believe, was what created some more series that were included additional stories. Now, I have only read a couple of the graphic novels. In fact, I've got a couple of them behind me here for those that want to see. It's even got brand new art, the original Snowpiercer stuff. It's really pretty. If you like a more visceral kind of basic artistic style. But if you look at the stories within the first two volumes, which are the ones that are closest to the movie, other than the setting, the concept, not really similar in most respects.
Oh, really? Like, okay. So like what's just like totally wrong or like not,
well, not
wrong,
not exactly
but
wrong.
Yeah. Just different.
Difference. I mean, I think part of it may have been, I mean, considering it was over 30 years from the original source material, there were going to need to be several updates in order not just to convert it to an audio visual medium like a movie, but technology had adjusted. It's a lot different now than it was when that was originally written. So it might not have been a great idea to try and adapt it as completely as some purists might have wanted. So if you look at the main characters in the first two story arcs, none of the names match up. The only things that really kind of are the same is, yes, there was a Clamby. Yes, it caused cold. Yes, there is a train that is constantly moving. Yes, there is a class system and a lot of friction between the different cars. That's about where the similarities end.
That's really interesting. Well, I would like to consider myself a purist when it comes to like, because I'm just not a fan of like taking like books or comics or something like that and like making it into a movie, unless like if you're gonna, you need to do service to the source material kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. That's always like my big issue with it. And now I really want to read the comics because I want to know what the original idea was. Like, what was it originally based in? That's what I like to do, is I like to get it like that part of it and then work my way back through. Because I did like the film. Did you like the film? Or
I enjoyed it. I had some issues, but you know, I nitpick. So I'm going to have issues with pretty much any film I watch.
Yeah, fair. Wow, that's really interesting. I didn't know it was originally like French. And then I knew that at least the movie that came out in 2014, I thought it was 2012 for some reason, I guess not. But it didn't need to be updated. And I thought that I had heard that the director he also acted in it, but like he mm-hmm. put a lot of his own money into it or something. Like it wasn't a film that like anybody wanted to really make this. Like no one was like, yes, do this. You know what I'm saying? So do you have any thoughts on like why that is or?
Well, okay. So I can't speak to a specific reason in this. I have my theories. It's first of all, I mean, it has certain things that just kind of yell for, you know, Oscar or things like that. I mean, anytime you have a movie set in a position where everything is bleak and hopeless and gives actors a chance to kind of flex those muscles, that's a real big thing. But this type of dystopian future tends to have in it a slightly different look at society. And a lot of the things that we look, I mean, like for example, Schindler's List, mm-hmm. just a strong, really powerful movie talking about a very serious subject that is really hard to think about, but it's viewed through the lens of history. This right. is something that already happened. This is awful. We can stop. We don't have to worry about this. I'm not saying that we don't have to worry about this anymore, but it's, you're seeing it from the past. So by seeing it in the past, it's easier to go, well, that already happened. We can move forward. But something like this, because it's more set in the near future, and it's not just set in the near future, and while it's science fiction, it's not far off science fiction. There's no stellar travel. There's no massive, it's just a train. This feels like it could happen. So once you put the viewer in that particular mindset, it's uncomfortable. And it can maybe provoke a reaction that, and maybe they felt would be overly negative, even though it's a very interesting concept and something that could spark some real discussion about things that are currently wrong with our society.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons why I liked it so much, because I had no idea what it was. It just like came up on my Netflix and it just like kept coming up. And then I was like, well, fine, I guess I'll just like watch it, just get it out of the queue or whatever. Right. And then I watched it and fell in love with it because it was very scary, but I like things that scare me because I feel like it forces me to be creative about it and approaching the subject from like a film perspective, I just think is probably a good way to start the conversation. Yeah. I don't know. I had a couple of thoughts in the film. And yeah, keep in mind, I've only seen the film and like the television show. I have not read like the original source material, so we might have to come back and do one like post sure. me reading that. That would be really great. But like, what did you have questions? Like, in, were you able to first take yourself out of the film enough to be able to like enjoy it and like ask those questions, or was it really difficult?
Well, more often than not, the issues that I tend to have with most movies and television, the only problem I have is when there is a writing choice that is odd enough that it breaks that moment where I'm not immersed in it anymore. And then I start to have problems. I'm usually able, as long as there aren't too many of those, I can get through the film, enjoy it as an experience, and then revisit it later to think about it on a more deep level. Snowpiercer, unfortunately, used a technique that I find a little grating in a lot of films. I call it the zombie film problem. So in order to get into whatever plot that you've come up with as a writer, science fiction, fantasy, whatever, sometimes the urge is to just pave over what caused whatever calamity. If you watch a lot of zombie films, there was a zombie outbreak. Yeah, how? We're not going to talk about it. How does the zombie thing work? We're not going to talk about it. Okay. I'm now already immediately slightly uncomfortable because it seems like you haven't done the work to get me to where we are. Mm-hmm. And Snowpiercer does the same thing. It's like, okay, we're on a train. We had this thing. It got really cold. That's it. That's all you get. So it's like, okay. I mean, I understand in a way that's what the original source material kind of did too. You're just dumped into it.
Right.
But a movie is not the same thing as a graphic novel. So it's you get a lot more time in a book or a graphic novel to really build out and explain things if you decide you want to, or to be able to get past things. You have a very short window on a movie, and because you've got to be very careful with what you decide to build out and what you're going to ignore. And a lot of times that buildup gets left over and it just drives me crazy.
I agree with you though. That's one of the reasons why I am pretty solidly against making, well, it feels like stealing to me. When you take somebody else's idea that you already knew was successful and then made a movie out of it, like, it just feels like cheating. I don't know. It's not original. It's not like an original idea. It's not, it's adapted. And I'm pretty against that. But
unless you can manage to add something to it that maybe wasn't there before. There are reasons to do remakes that I can usually get behind. Like I said, having a slightly different take, or making it for a modern day audience. Do you remember that Lady Gaga film that came out?
The Star Is Born movie. It was like the fifth time it'd been remade. I didn't even see it. I was like, no, why would you pay money to see this?
Yes. So, and there are reasons to do that. I mean, you get the current stars that people are enamored with. I mean, if I talk about some of the original stars that were in the other movies to somebody that was born in 2001, they're just going to glaze over. They have no care. No, don't tell me anything more. I don't need to know. So I can kind of see that, but
yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. So what were the, so like in the movie they have, I think, okay, let me back up. So in the television show, I just figured out a way to cheat the system and watch the second season of the of the television show. But I think that like knowing what I know about you right now, I think you would like the television show more because they are able to expand everything and it makes a lot more sense, like the way that they do it. Like one of the issues that I had, again, not having read the original source material, was I was like, why is there only one train? Why is there only one train? Why do we have, what, that was a dumb idea from the beginning. Who decided that was a good idea? The rich, obviously, because it works in their benefit. But like in the television show, at the end of the, spoiler alert for anybody who has not seen the television show, they sort of bring my idea into it. And I was like, okay, so like they might actually do something that makes sense here. But they do get a lot more into how they got there, what happened, what it was like, all of those things. And I do appreciate that more. Like you said, in a film, it's you're crunched for time.
Yeah.
But so what were the like class issues in the original source material? Like, what were those like? Were they, I assume they were relatively the same in like, as far as like tone and feel go, but like what specifically do you remember?
Well, it's still that part, like I said, it's because it's treated almost more of as a backdrop and a certain extent in the comic. So it's going to still be there. You've got the people with the money at the front. You've got some that are a little less fortunate in the middle. And then you got the people that were just rammed, did what they could to get on the train at first. And I will make a small note. Depending upon how you look at it, if you look at the original just being the comic released in 1982, yes, there was only one train. But if you look at it as the entire series, yes, there were multiple trains. So,
oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of depends on your perspective, how you want to look at it. But they, one of the things that the movie did that they focused, I think, a little bit more, just a little bit more on what it was like to be somebody in the rear of the train. They didn't do that as much in the original story because you, when you catch up with the main character, he's already broken in to a car he's not supposed to be into. And you don't really go back to the back of the car, and he doesn't want to talk about a lot of it. You only get kind of snippets. So it's a little different in that regard. So all you get is this feeling that things are really bad. And he explains a little bit, and okay. So for example, in the movie, there were a lot of kills, a lot of deaths, right? Mm-hmm. What happened to the bodies?
No idea.
Right. So the whole idea was, well, there's a hatch. We throw the bodies out of the hatch. If you're fortunate enough to be in one of the middle to upper cars, if you're in the back car and you died, your body just sat there. And so it got pretty awful in the back, and you can kind of let your mind take you into that. And that was kind of enough. I think in that regard to see, it was more told in how he related to the people that he met, the military style officials, the people that wanted to help, that didn't really understand what it was like. Yeah, they did a good job in the comic of giving that, which was kind of in a way missing in the movie completely, which is, I can understand, a painful topic for people, because you always get that. People are generally good. They want to help, but they don't always understand the situation. So their help isn't always help. And it may not be coming from a place that is useful. So they address that a little in the comic and kind of ignore it in the movie. It's just, so it's all about his movement through the train with this person that has been, there to try and help him. There's still swerve. It's slightly different, but there are things that they address in the comic that I wish they would have addressed in the movie. Well, the train itself, you get a couple of outside shots in the film where you can see there's at least maybe 20 cars, 30 cars, but you don't get a real sense of how big the train is. And it's very much illuminated in the comics. It's like 1,000 cars long. So it makes a lot more sense when you see the movie and you see all these people. It's like, where are they coming from? There's not enough space for this many people with the number of cars that I've seen. It's just not numerically possible. But yeah, when you have 1,000 cars, okay. Yeah, you got a little more space. You got a little larger population, a little more you can work with to try and have some specializations, like, you know, got the greenery car. Okay. We saw like one greenery car for that entire train. Seemed a little minimal, but if you've got 1,000 cars, there might be, you know, more than that, you know, just a little bit better on my suspension of disbelief. Let's say.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause in the TV show, it's like a double decker train kind of a thing. And they utilize that where they like slice it up as you go farther down the train into like all of a sudden there's like three tiers, and then, you know, so that's helpful. I really want to read the source material now because this sounds so much better. It just sounds so much better. I've never actually ever read a comic book before.
What?
I've never actually read a comic book before. I'm a huge poser. I'm a pretend nerd, but I do like the idea that I'm getting from like just the feel and the way you're describing comic books as like you can tell a story. It's entirely like internal dialogue, sort of, where, you know, and you kind of have to just pick your characters, but they're not going to say much. So you have to figure out a way to tell your story without using that many words and just using pictures and then letting the reader. That's an art form. Oh my goodness. That's got to be incredibly difficult. So were there any characters in the comic that you like got attached to or like identified with or anything?
Not really. I think part of the problem was, again, there's a bit of a time gap from when it was written. Combine that with the fact that it was not written in English. So it's a translation, and there's always something that just gets lost in any translation that you're going to get. It combine that with this bleak story. And I think none of the characters are likable. It's kind of like watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
I liked Breaking Bad as a show, but I didn't like any of the characters. So I mean, it's not really necessary. They're flawed human beings that are flawed because they've been stuck in this awful situation. Some of them were probably not great beforehand, but when you are basically put into a tin can with no real hope and no real movement, and everything is just exponentially multiplied in terms of how you're going to react, it doesn't always leave a lot of room for redeemable traits.
Yeah. Well, I like those though, because they make me think, you know, I really like them, and I like to sort of explore that darker part. Just for fun. I don't know if I could ever actually like do any of the things, but that's like why escapism's great, you know?
Right. Right. Well, and that's it, by being able to look at it through the lens of fiction, it allows us to try and think about the things that we would not normally want to do to try and understand them just a little bit better, because ultimately good and bad, there's plenty that are parts of the human condition, and we may not want to admit some of it, but we need to confront it in some way so that we can become better people.
Yeah, I think so too.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think it's good, like I said, to think about it and like talk about it. That's where we draw the line, though. Do not like, don't act on it, kind of thing. Right. What was the message that like you took away? Because like I feel like everybody takes something different from a film or any sort of art form. They take something different away than somebody else, maybe. So like, what did you take away from the film or the comic?
Well, probably something slightly different from each. They both tried to examine the darker nature of humanity, and both had a slightly different end result due to the actions of the characters. So in the comic, it's more about being resigned to your fate. And so it's pretty dark by the end of it, not because it's necessarily ultra violent. The comic, I don't think, is nearly as gory or as violent as the film was, but because of the avenue that the story took, I'm trying not to give anything away.
Yeah.
It's just, it's different. It's not, there's no heroic moment. So it's a little more grim. As far as the movie goes, what I took away from it is CGI is wonderful. The actors I liked a lot. I don't think it made a whole heck of a lot of sense the way they stitched it together. There were just a couple of small problems that were in there. And I understand that the train's been on the track for a while, and there are people that were born on the train that were not living before the train, or that were very young when they got on the train. But the person that we're following around has lived in the real world and has lived through everything else. And they keep trying to remind us, well, I don't remember what it was like to do something. Okay, fine. You may not remember the action, but you still remember the results, and you still remember the pieces that made you who you are. So by the time that they get to the end of their journey and have to get to the main car, the choice that is made, while it seems like it's supposed to be this heroic moment, is it really?
I never viewed it as heroic. I never got that was what it was supposed to be out of the film. I just didn't get that heroic. I got the very bleak, like, it's all bad. Like, it's just all bad.
So, but the ultimate choice in the movie is, well, I've seen how this journey is going, and I've seen how the train is. I believe, with no scientific evidence other than the fact that we saw a bit of a plane, we can probably survive if I stop the train without really going into what's going to happen when I am wrong, inevitably, because I wasn't a scientist on the outside and I just saw small children climbing out of the interior portions. It's a little weak. It didn't hit me quite right.
Oh, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. No, that makes, yeah, I could see how that would be an issue. No. I mean,
maybe if the answer was, okay, I see how this is working, you could even dispatch the owner of the train. Let's go back and get some of these other people, and together we will continue our journey, but do it the right way.
Well, I think that's another one of my things in, like, with movies in general, is there's never any communication. There's never, like, nobody is ever talking to anybody else. Like, you know, you see it a lot in, like, Marvel films where somebody just starts shooting a gun and you're like, you couldn't have told someone, like, that maybe put some headphones on or something. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, no, I feel like, yeah, the solution at the end is just, like, everything's bad and, like, we'll just basically, like, screw it all kind of a thing. That's really what the ending is. And it would just help if they would talk to each other.
Yeah, that's always been a problem with a lot of cinema, a lot of fiction. If there's anything that makes me yell at the screen, other than just things that are not physically possible, that don't make any sense. You know, if you're watching a superhero movie, okay, I will take it as a step back. I'm understanding that they're talking about people that are flying around. Okay, I can pull my understanding of how the world works back enough to enjoy that. But then when they get just basic stuff absolutely wrong, it's like, come on, you're not even trying. I really want to believe this, but there's no way that person would have survived that impact. I don't care if it's a PG-13 film. It's just not going to happen. I don't care. I'm watching Deadpool. It's like, oh, he's the good guy, sort of. Well, great. Did you notice he killed civilians throughout the film? It's just, yeah, stuff like that. It's like, yeah.
In my journey of, like, studying film, and by studying film, I just mean watch a lot of movies. Like, so.
I like your method. That's good.
That was always one of my big issues with, like, superhero films just in general. And then in my journey through, like, studying quote unquote film, I have they've sort of ruined movies for myself. Like, because now I just watch a movie and I'm like, how? No, you haven't, because in my brain, I'm beginning to create like the world. And so I'm asking all these questions, you know, like I want to be a writer. And so, you know, in my mind, you have to, you create the rules of the world first, and then you build around the rules of the world, kind of a thing that you're building.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a good writing technique. That's just sort of how I've decided that that was probably the best way to go for me.
A lot of writers do it that way.
Yeah. And it's just very difficult for me now to watch any kind of film and not be incredibly like negative and critical about it. Do you do something similar, or am I alone on this?
No, you're not alone. I have that part of my brain, but it's balanced by the fact, or I should say balanced by the part of my brain that realizes the Herculean task that it is to create a film or a television series. The number of moving parts that are necessary, the amount of money, the amount of time and effort that goes into it to get something that even resembles a coherent story that's enjoyable. It's amazing that any of these things get made in the first place, especially when you start looking at the fact that there's almost always a power struggle involved. I mean, it's not like an at your throat sort of thing necessarily, but between the studio and the director, between the actors and the writers, there's almost never a perfect balance that occurs. But when you can get the parts working together enough to create that final product, I can accept that there's going to be some problems, because ultimately they're trying to entertain me, and I am grateful for that.
Well, good. I'm okay. Good. Then hopefully this is just like a phase and I get to like your place of zen. Hopefully that's the light at the end of this tunnel. Movies will be good again. Okay. I just got to get through this one little part where I'm like annoyed with everything.
The voice never goes away. You just hopefully get like, you say, get to a point where you can still accept the flaws and enjoy the beauty of what's there.
Okay, good. Okay, good. That makes me happy. That makes me really happy. Something to look forward to. Wow. So can we hear a little bit about what you do on your podcast? And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, at Everybody Loves Pudding, we tend to focus on pop culture as it relates to things that interest us, which is a nice vague way of saying we're going to kind of talk about whatever we want to talk about. But we tend to, more often than not, look at the intersection between comic books, comic strips, and film and television. And we will review movies on occasion. We like to often have people on the show that give a different perspective on the review. We have a very scientific method that's not to rate all of our shows. When we can, we interview people that we think are interesting. We've in the past had the good fortune to talk to comic book artists and authors and acrobats and directors and actors. The end of our third season is going to be in the middle of May, and we are actually going to have somebody that I've really kind of wanted to talk. Well, truthfully, I wanted to talk to any of the cast of this particular show. I'm a huge fan of Supernatural, and we're going to have Mark Pellegrino is going to be our guest for the final show. He played Lucifer on that show.
Oh my god, I'm so excited for you. Lucky, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I have to admit, anytime I get the good fortune to speak to somebody like that, it takes all of my control to not just turn into a giant fanboy. But he was a gentleman, and it was a great conversation. I had a lot of fun talking to him, and I've been very fortunate in that. So in that ends, I like to pay my fortunate nature forward and maybe give somebody else something that they may not have. And since I'm not famous, the way that we do that is I have a couple of tools that I try and allow people access to, just to satisfy the inner nerd that is there. We have something called the Comic Movie Database on our website. It is every movie that's ever been based on a comic strip, comic book, graphic novel. It is cross-referenceable. You can see who acted with who. You can look at a year range. If you want to look, let's say we're going to be talking about the year 2014 coming up in an episode, and you want to know, well, what comic book movies came out in 2014? You go in there, type that in and you get a list. You get Annie, Big Hero 6, 300, Rise of an Empire, Captain America, Winter Soldier. It's all there. You can look at the source material. You know the exact first appearance of the characters, what comic they were in, the people that created it. We try and put links to other places that give you more information, like IMDb, TMDb, you know, anything that you can get. So there's that tool. And then you can also, if you're really bored, go to the Pop Culture Death Count, where we were talking about Supernatural. I've done a complete death count for the entire series, broken down in every possible way that I thought was important by character, by creature type, by season. And there are a lot more deaths in a lot of things around us than we really think about. And it's kind of my mindset. It's like, well, how does this affect us? So if you had to guess for the show Supernatural, how many deaths do you think were occurring between seasons 1 and 15?
Total.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll give you a hint. Think big.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just going to go like really big because it's got to be super high, like at least 400, at least 400.
Well, I will let you know that you actually guessed lower than Mark Pellegrino did. He was also wrong. Because how would you really know this unless you were like me and watched every episode, stop framed, researched.
Oh, yeah.
334.4 billion.
Dead? Total?
Yeah, total. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you didn't count some of the exposition, like you don't want to count the fact, I mean, spoilers here for people that haven't watched it, several Earths were destroyed. That means the entire population of planets were destroyed during the course of the events of the episode. So billions upon billions there. If you take that away, even if you go back to season 5 when Lucifer was on, he took out an entire town. It was a real town. So I looked at the census data and cross-referenced it with what he said at that time, what it would have been. This is how many thousands of people would have died. So it's just kind of
that. Oh my goodness. That's fascinating. And what have you found like that it does to us like as people? Is it, I would venture to guess that it at least has some correlation to why we're so desensitized to everything.
I think there is an element to that. For the most part, I give the data and then kind of let everyone come up with their own conclusions and do what they want to do. But it's a tool that I think is maybe somewhat overused because a death is supposed to be an impactful emotional moment. And you know you're going to get more deaths in certain things. If you're watching a sitcom, if there's a death, it's pretty rare. But if you're watching an action movie, yeah, Stallone can mow down 20 people before you blink an eye. But what does that really mean? And I think a lot of it is we just refuse to process it. And just kind of, I don't think it really desensitizes us, but we accept the model of what we are engaging as, whether it's a movie, whether it's a video game. This is where a lot of people say, well, video games are impressioning our youth to be violent. No, that was shown to be ridiculous years ago. And the reason is, I think we have the ability to go, this is not real. I am not actually learning anything from this. I'm just accepting this as it is and ignoring it. So I'm not certain it has too much of an impact, unless you maybe have some pre-existing conditions.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. That's very hopeful too. That makes me happier because that tells me that we are smarter than I give even myself credit for. I am able to turn it off and go, okay, no, I'm going to, you know, my brain is going to just be mush for the next 2 hours so I can watch this thing that's not real. Okay. Mm. No, that's happiness right there. That makes me feel a little bit better about all this.
Yeah. I keep telling people I'm more optimistic than they believe, but you know, it's like, but you're talking about death all the time. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. No, I like your point though, too, that a death is a very personal and intimate experience for an individual being. And so that has more weight because yeah. Well, it's always, there's that quote where it's like, you know, 20 people dying is a tragedy, but a million people dying is like a sideshow kind of a thing.
Yeah, statistic.
Yeah. It's Stalin, I think. Whoops.
Yeah, well, even awful people can be right once in a while.
Yeah, broken clocks.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, as it is, I just enjoy the fact that, you know, when I was growing up, comic books, you didn't get comic book movies. And if you did, they were not good. They tried, but through a combination of just not having the technology to be able to render these fantastic concepts in any way that was palatable to studios and people that would make the films that didn't understand the source material and couldn't really convey it in a way that would connect with people. I mean, it's so much better now. Even the films that I make fun of, I mean, they're way better than what I had. The Snyder Cut of Justice League wasn't amazing. Way better than what I had. It's clear he loves the source material, even if I have problems with how he implemented things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah. I feel that. I got that a lot. I was a book person, like physical books with like lots of words I like to read. My sister was the one that did like manga and like anime and graphic novels and stuff. That was more her area. Mine was more just like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, you know, Chronicles of Narnia. I mean, King Killer Chronicles.
That's not posing being a nerd. That's full on nerd. That's good stuff right there.
Well, they're my teachers because they're just, it's beautiful, especially, you know, Lord of the Rings is a masterpiece, but that's got to be a 3-part episode that I do.
Indeed. There's a lot of material there.
Oh, yeah. I have one more question to ask you, and it's been bothering me, and I don't know how to ask it without sounding rude. So please forgive me. Where did you get the name of your podcast from? Like, how did you get that name? I like it. I do. But I just don't. I'm like, that never would have occurred to me to put those three words together.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I like to imagine that there was this grand plan and it has something to do with an experience in our life. But really what it was is, again, kind of coming along the thing. We wanted to be original, something that would point us out, but also to kind of give the feeling that when we're talking about something, it's coming from a place of love. What does everybody love? People love food. Well, everybody loves pudding.
I love that. That's so like warm and happy and welcoming. That's the vibe that I want with my podcast too, is very just like, just come over and hang out. Like, we're not going to, there's no judgment. This is a safe space. Just come and be whoever you want to be.
That's all my co-host right there. He's a great guy. We kind of vibe off of each other once in a while, and he just came up with that. And it's like, man, you are 100% on. I like it.
I love it. It's so great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. I had so much fun. Thank you. You can
pleasure.
Go ahead and don't forget to send me your links and stuff so I can put them in the description. Absolutely. But go ahead and drop all your links and stuff.
Well, we are very easy to get a hold of. We are at Real Pudding Guys on Twitter. We are at Pudding Guys on Facebook and on Instagram. We do not post nearly as often on those two as we do on the Twitter channel. We also have Patreon, where for just $1 a day, you can support the Pudding Guys as we bring you new and exciting stuff. We actually have some really, really exciting stuff coming up soon, which I've only been saying for a year, but I swear it's right around the corner. It's going to be good.
Oh, I'm so excited. I've got to listen to your interview. I found another supernatural nerd. This is exciting. Okay. Thank you so much you'll have to come back when I finish reading the source material, and then we'll have to talk all about it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you for listening. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Get your shout outs in to manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. Email me with your shout outs if you want me to say anything. Tell me if you don't, then I'll just shout your name out. Also, social medias at MPWeirdo podcast is the Twitter, the_main_weirdo1 is the Instagrams, the_main_weirdo21 is the Pinterests. You can find us on all the things. iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, just all the things. Just let me know for the shout outs, or if there's any topic that you want me to cover, or anything you want me to say, or are thinking about, or you have your own story with the comics, or the movies, or the television show, just let me know. Hit me up. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, be kind and stay weird. Bye, guys.